My topic is theoretically off your seat and on your feet, today as I sit here on my seat. And all of you have been on your seats all day, but I hope to inspire you off of your seats for some sort of future kinds of activity. Actually, I am talking mostly in the area of the physical, but I live in the world of the mental and the spiritual, and I have no way nor any desire to really separate them. And that's why I have this triangle here, really the YMCA triangle, but I think it's the triangle of life too, in terms of the mind perhaps at the top, the body and the spirit, or the spirit there and the mind and body, so that it is one continuous, and no matter how you turn this pyramid, as you know, or triangle, it still comes out with one of the points and the other two all being equal. And this is really what I feel. This morning we received your spiritual at twice in the early hours, and we just finished a great deal in the area of the mental. So I am going to try to permeate the world with the area of the physical in a sense, but to me the physical is so embedded in the other two that what you gain from the two you also gain from the body, and what you gain from the body you therefore are better able to give in the area of the mind and spirit. So I really sort of see them all as one. But my conversation is in trying to encourage, to think about, to talk about the area of what normally would have been called physical education or movement experiences. But I think the word fitness, and here's my big F, and all of these words fit into some area in this sense. I just, as some of you may have noticed, added fear and flesh. I added the fear from our discussion just a few minutes ago as one of the problems that cause anxiety and therefore tension, and one of the greatest probably killers that we have is in the area of tension. So with that sort of introduction, we'll get started. Also, one other thing, I have this F here purposely because we often think of F in a negative sense. Also, many people think of fitness in a negative sense. We think of F in a negative sense from our educational system. One of the poorest things we ever thought of was F for failure in our education system, which also then gives the idea of fear, which also gives us negatives. So I thought two negatives of fitness and failure make a positive, and so we're going to attack it from a positive kind of sense. In the very beginning of the world, God created both the heavens and the earth, and it set the world into motion. Since that time, motion has continued in the world. According to Desjardins, it is still in the process of becoming. It is in movement. The same is true for the newborn child. He starts from the very beginning in random movements. His first experience, in terms of experience that we were talking about a few minutes ago, his first experience is what we call random movements. He stretches, he gets slaps on the back, and he begins moving. He scans the universe for understanding it. And he understands the universe only through his physical body. He feels through his physical body. He understands his environment through the physical. The mother cradles him, and he gets a feeling, which gives him power. It gives him a feeling of belonging. So movement is one of the ways man experiences life. It's one of the ways he understands life. Our problem in the future is that we sometimes take this away from him by not letting him have free movement. We are almost as bad as the Chinese in that they bound the feet. We sometimes bind the spirit of the child through not really letting him be a child and to be free from movement. And that this is one of the great problems that's happening not only to children, but to us in our automated society. So that man is made for movement, he must move to function well, and yet we're doing everything in our power in this push-button age to prevent his movement. We teach him how to press a button rather than having to have any kind of physical movement. We teach the executive to move his hand in the writing form and his secretary to type. And in this sense, we're taking away the one thing that he absolutely needs to do, which is to have some kind of movement. And we're putting in its place tension and anxieties. We know that noise affects man and how he reacts to his environment. We know that small spaces affect man, that he is unable to operate and to function freely when he's confined to a small space. And that all of these things are exterior kinds of activities that we're putting on the body every day. And we know that we're not going to be able to prevent this. And we know as we get more automation that we're going to have more problems with this. And that's why I'm on this, what some people call fitness kick, because I believe that we are going to have to artificially make ourselves move. We're going to have to force ourselves into action. And at the same time, automation is doing everything it can to force us not to move, to put us into little boxes. And so the responsibility ends up on each and every adult and each and every adult for their child. Think of the difference in your childhood and your children's in terms of moving. Nobody took you to school every day. Nobody let you sit down in front of the TV and watch it hour on end. So our whole society is becoming a sitting society instead of a moving society. And all of this, we are just beginning to see the effects of it. We see the effects of it in mental hospitals. We see the effects of it in regular hospitals in terms of tension and anxiety. And it's going right down even on the children's level. In the schools of Los Angeles, in one of the school systems, they're finding children with ulcers, for example, a phenomena rarely found in the past, which is a sign of the age, really. Some of it's the pressure that we're even putting on little children and even in their play lines, so that we have to counteract this. Now, activity, fun, recreation isn't a cure-all. All it's going to do is try to contribute to a balance. Play isn't going to keep you from being anxious. It's not going to take your tensions away in terms of your job or in terms of life. All it can do is give you an outlet. Fitness can prepare your body to let you be free, but it's upstairs that really makes the final decision of whether you are or are not going to be free. But what I'm interested in is giving you a little view of what you can do with your body to assure that you are at least attempting to have some kind of freedom. And so I think one of the big things that we can do is to think about what are the qualities of fitness that are good for you. What are the things that will help you and your children withstand the world? For the older people, it's a question of what can I do to keep my life and my body in good condition so that I can enjoy my retirement aging, so that I'm not a bundle of nerves, that I'm not destined for an immediate heart attack, that there is more possibility for expanding your horizons, for really living rather than what Tweet called existing this morning. And this is something that you can do right from this day forth. It's not something that you missed and so you can't do anything about it. Naturally, those of you who are parents or teachers have more power because you can help your children in this way. And I think parents are not helping their children in that they are encouraging them in some areas that satisfy themselves. I hope to get to the problem of Little League, which is my prime example of an adult motivated kind of activity rather than a child centered. The only way it's child centered is that the parents enjoy sitting there watching the child in many instances. Now, many programs are great in that nobody watches the kids. They play, they still are permitted their fights with each other, and there isn't all this adult intercession, which tends to inhibit the child. The child really deserves to fight, to play, to get and take care of his little problem. In this area, recent studies are showing that where parents interfere with children's fights, the fights last longer than if the children solve them themselves. We're finding this on the playgrounds, that sometimes we're structuring them so much that real fun doesn't occur from it. So that we need to have learn time, kind of, and play time, where they do it any way they want to do it, just so that they are moving and feeling free. If kids aren't free to play, there's no freedom anywhere. They've got to have this spontaneity about them that we probably are taking away. So in the area of fitness then, what I'm defining as fitness is really the workings of the body to its maximum capacity, so that you're ready for reserve things. For example, what I would call real physical fitness would be you stroll into Holden, you put a pack on your back if your shoes fit right, and you were able to walk up to Holden Lake and come down and la-di-da play volleyball. This is what I would call total fitness of the body, that your body is in condition for what you want to do. Now this is, I think, not necessary for every individual, that they have that much fitness. But this to me would be an ideal, that you could take a fairly nice pace, go up there and come back down, and still feel good about it, and no real soreness for a long time. Now those blisters, that's not your fault, that's because 10 other people molded their feet to those same shoes. But that at least you have ability to move. In the area of fitness, I'm talking about organic fitness. Now this would be your insides in good condition. For example, the way I'm sitting right now isn't too hot for what we call the organic being. We're pushing the organs together rather than giving them room to move. The whole idea of, what do they call those exercises, breathing exercises that they used to talk about, the only thing that does is that it does, you're usually up in this condition, you're not here taking deep breathing. Deep breathing itself does nothing, but it's the expanding of the being, and really the idea of posture is all that deep breathing exercise does for anybody in the morning. But with organic fitness, this is where you have, you're using your body in such a way that you're making efficient both the involuntary and the voluntary parts of the body. The liver's working better, the lungs, the heart apparatus, which are probably the most important in terms of your fitness, and in terms of energy for life, which is what we're trying to develop. Also in this area then, we talk about conditioning. The parts of conditioning that I think are important, the first one is endurance. To develop endurance helps you in your fitness. Now, what is endurance? It's merely the ability or the amount of work that your body can do until fatigue sets in, until you run out of breath. Then you've lost your endurance. This is an important component of fitness because this is what gives the vital organs a chance to work to their maximum, so that they have some kind of reserve if something happens. You still have something in reserve. As soon as fatigue sets in, then you start the downward trail. And what you're trying to do is cut off fatigue for a longer length of time, you know, so that you can iron longer, you can do the things that must be done longer, and also that you enjoy playing longer. You really almost have to get yourself in condition for play if you're going to enjoy it. And endurance is one of the things. Endurance is also one of the things that is lost, so that it's not that I will really get myself in condition for a month and then I'll be in condition for 11 months. You won't do that. You've got to keep at it some way. And this is what this whole jogging bit is about. Somebody was asking me this morning about jogging. Jogging is good if you like to jog. Jogging is good in that It's one of the best ways of building up endurance and some of the strength of the legs. And these are two important components of fitness. If you like to do it, it's great. If you hate to do it, find something else to do that can do the same thing. There are cautions in jogging, though. Middle-aged women and middle-aged men on who start jogging, there's a chance of problems in terms of the respiratory system and in terms of the heart. You can't suddenly push something that hasn't been pushed before. And so if you want to jog and starting 45, 50 years old, you really need to start a slow program and keep a slow program for a long time. You don't just start jogging that 6-minute mile, boy, immediately, or you won't jog again, maybe forever. So it's one of the fads. It's one of the fads I don't like because I don't like to run, except when I have a reason, like after a tennis ball on the volleyball court, I love to run. So it's just one of the ways of getting into condition. Fastest is something you can do by yourself. A running in place in your house does exactly the same thing, only for some it's not as fun, and I live in an apartment, and it's no fun at all for the people downstairs. So a little discretion, I guess, helps. But jogging is one of the all-round kind of activities. Another all-round kind of activity is swimming. If you would swim every day in the summer, or 3 times a week even, you would be in pretty good condition without doing anything else except swimming, because your muscles are in action. You can do resistant kind of exercises, leg kicks, strengthens the legs. You can do arm kind that strengthens the arm and shoulder girdle. And of course, if you practice breathing, you know what it does to breathing. And also, endurance is built up. Actually, they're finding almost twice a week will also do a lot. 15 minutes a day, twice a week, of swimming can do about as much as, say, almost any other kind of activity except running. So if you get a chance, this is a great kind of activity. But it's an activity where fatigue sets in quickly. And so safety is a factor beyond, say, 20 or 25 to 30 minutes. These hour of lessons are poor in terms of swimming. Even for your children, they're poor. It really, you're much better off with 25 minutes a day, 3 days a week, than once a week for 2 hours. But unfortunately, this is how it's usually set up. Actually, by the way, in learning anything that you decide to learn that's new, you should do it in short periods often. We know this from our studies, rather than long periods. It's what we call mass versus distributed practice, really. So if you're learning tennis, you really shouldn't go to a pro and take an hour lesson, for example. You're wasting some of that hour because you just really can't learn that fast in terms of a new skill. You need a little bit of what we call mental practice at it, for one thing, and your body gets fatigued. You try swinging that tennis racket for 45 minutes even, and if you're swinging it right, you're going to have a sore arm. And this is true of almost any sport you learn. So don't go out on those ski hills and think you're going to take 2 hours of lessons and then you're going to ski for 4 hours and you've never been on skis before. Because injury, not only to the body, but safety occurs when this happens. That was free, not in the lecture. Okay, the next component is strength. And this is an important component because this is what does permit you to do any of the extra work you suddenly have to do. It takes a certain amount of strength, for example, to lift that baby out of the crib. It takes a certain amount of strength. I understand married women love to move their furniture 35 times a month if they're 50 pressed. This takes a certain amount of strength. And you can easily build up strength. There's 3 ways that you build strength, no matter what part of the body it is for. One way is, for example, with an exercise, you just increase the number. So I'm doing this exercise and I want to get strong fingers, I do just more of them, and this will help build my strength. Say I don't have that much time, I got so good that it would take 95 sit-ups for me to get anything out of it. Well, then I can increase the speed of them, and this can help develop strength. The third way I develop strength is to put a weight or some kind of resistance on it and then do more of them and then also do them faster. So these are the ways that you can build strength. So if you don't have much time, put a weight on it and start exercising. Actually, that's why women have a terrible time with push-ups. We've got the whole world against us almost as we're trying to lift our bods up and put them back down again. And I'm not convinced, actually, that women need that much strength in terms of a woman's push-up. We have what we call a modified push-up, which seems to do the same thing. In other words, our arm and shoulder girdle strength is always going to be less than men's. And the push-up will help you push the basketball in some, and it may help a little bit in volleyball. But in your everyday living, even tennis, a push-up, I don't need that much strength for. So what you have to do is also judge how much do I need. For normal life, you don't need a lot. Now, if you want to be a gymnast, then you better do push-ups every day. If you want to do these hanging kind of activities, then you need it. And for those of you with children, particularly for your girls in the 9 through 12 age, if any of you have these, be careful with the amount of hanging kind of activities you let your kids do. They don't have the same amount of strength as the size of their bodies. And these girls should be getting plump, and their arm and shoulder girdle strengths are not equal. And so a lot of this hanging kinds of things, there's a much more chance of injury to them at this time. So the schools are fairly careful about this, but not as careful as they should be. Also, for example, back bends. All children can live the rest of their lives without back bends because you're stretching a part of the back that women do not need stretching. What's the weakest part of you women? Backs, besides hands and wrists are. But in terms of workload, our backs are. Some of us, the way we move, we're always on stretch rather than relax in the lower back. But anything that we do, even as children, that is more than the amount of flexibility you need is pulling on the back. Now, if your child wants to be in gymnastics, and they continue this always, they're all right. It's that stopping process and then try to pick it up again in high school. Splits, the most ridiculous thing anybody has thought of in terms of stretching. It completely stretches your muscle. And muscles are really, in this sense, with the tendons and ligaments, are just like rubber bands. What happens when you overstretch a rubber band? It gets weak and you never get it back to its same strength. And this is the possibility on some of these kinds of activities. And physical educators are learning more and more not to force this. So the next thing that we're on is flexibility. And there is a limit to every individual's flexibility. Every kid in the world shouldn't have to be able to touch their total hands on the floor. We're really not built for this. Some of us have hamstring muscles that simply interfere with the stretch. If I'm plump, I can't possibly get my knees up to my chest. And so some of these exercises that you find in books, you just simply cannot achieve. Now, how do you know when to stop? You stop when it starts pulling, and you can feel the pull. So in other words, you don't rush into a flexibility kind of exercise. You go slowly. Flexibility is the quickest thing to lose. And so you're very careful in it, and you have to redo it. Every time you want to try something, some new kind of activity, you really need to redo it so that you do not pull on the muscles. Because once you have stretched, well, really it's the joints or the ligaments connecting to any of the joints is where you lose flexibility. And therefore, where it has to be strengthened. Also, flexibility, we know, is not a general thing. So, for example, I might be flexible in my hip joint. That does not mean I'm flexible in the arm and shoulder. It does not mean my back is flexible. For women, we find backs are not flexible. Now, one of the things we do try to do is to get a little more flexibility in the back area because we know that it it gets rid of some of the tension. Flexibility is easily lost, easily gained. So this is something that you need to work on a little bit all the time. And a conditioning series on the various parts can do this. These are probably the three important components of exercise. The last one that I want to talk about in terms of fitness is tension or relaxation. And all exercise is of little value if you can't learn relaxation afterwards. And as I said, we can't get rid of your tensions. All we can do is to give you little hints on how to get rid of your tensions. So what I would like to do first in giving you an idea of what tension is to have, and I've done this for some of you before, but it won't do you any harm, is the art of relaxation. So if all of you can sort of follow and try as I give it, what I'm going to try to give is what we call a very quick review on the Jacobson technique of relaxation. And all this does is to help you try to help your body to hang loose. If you can be Raggedy Ann in bed without it, if you can be a Raggedy Ann in the middle of the day for just a minute or a minute and a half, it's a kind of refreshing thing that takes away from your tension. And you know, anything that takes away from your tension lets you work better and makes you feel better. No matter how many screaming kids are around, or how many are typing faster than you are and you wonder what they're typing, or all the other things that go on in the offices and at home, you have a little secret weapon. It also can be used when you go to bed at night in place of the tranquilizing pills and the sleeping pills that 20 million Americans are taking just about every night. So let's start with your arms. Just put your arms out and tense them. Make a fist just as hard as you can until it practically hurts. Now you should feel it in the upper arm and down in here. Feel what that feels like? Now, try from the upper arm to relax. Can you do that? Not very well. So this reminds us we must start everything. All our movement starts from the inner body out, but relaxation starts from the outer body in. So let's start with the hands then. Let the hands go. Now let the arms go. Now feel like the arms don't belong to you. Now tense them. Now notice the difference. If you can feel this and then let them go and feel that, then you have started on the process of mind making body relax. Now let's go to our legs. Put them out in front of you if you can, and point your toes, tighten up, thighs, legs, toes. Some of you are going to get a cramp in the middle of this, but this shows your muscles don't know how to relax. Your arms are doing nothing now, remember. They're just hanging loose. Okay, start again with the toes. Let them do what they want to do. Now the ankles. Let them fall if they want. Let the lower leg kind of run around. Now the thighs, we can't too much because it holds up our seats a little. But the thighs, just a little bit. Now, you don't have any arms and you don't have any legs. Got lots of abdomen. Yeah. So, well, let's get rid of that. Pull it in. Tight, tight. This is also an isotonic kind of exercise that you can do for fat abdomens after childbirth. Men, you can get rid of that bear belly. Coke belly. And you too, Paul. Pull it in. Tight, tight. Now try to relax it. And just let it go. Let it hang. Now, your next problem is put your head down. Round your shoulders. And just your head, look up at me. Just your head. What do you feel? Back of the neck. Remember this when you're working for 2 or 3 hours at one time. That's the position you get yourself in. Okay, now relax it instead of tightening it. Close your eyes. and have it rounded only so your arms are also relaxed. Put your head down on your chest and roll it slowly to the right, over to the left, and let it drop. And just leave it there. Now, as relaxed as you can, let's take a deep breath and hold it. And notice the tension all inside you. Now relax it. Slowly let it out. Now count out loud to seven. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Now, to yourself, but still counting with your mouth, count to 7. Now, notice that it's still moving. Now try to think to 7 without mouthing it. Notice that that's more difficult. And that's why when you're relaxing, you try to blank out your mind. You don't count sheep at night, but you try to blank it out. You don't refight with whatever you said, he said, she said, and then I said. Because actually the process is, you're still down there, sound asleep. The process is still going on. Eventually, if you're really able to relax, you're going to start to not hear what I have to say. Okay, and up. Okay, I only have a few seconds left. Was that the bye-bye bell? What time is it? Oh, okay. Well, if you have to run, you can run. But in the meantime, I'd like to cover some more. That is just what I call a way of relaxing. Now, you still are going to have tensions, you still have anxiety. I can't take that away from you, nobody can. But this is just one of the ways of doing it. Another way of getting rid of some of your tensions really is what these women are doing. In that they are working with their hands and yet their minds are somewhat active. This is one of the tricks of the trade in a sense. Also, at work, being able to take minute vacations where you do relax within yourself. When everything else is humdrum, this is one of the ways of giving your body a chance to catch up with your brain. Your brain is always outrunning your body, but your body suffers from it. Much more, we don't find any suffering in the gray matter. All of the suffering comes out in the body and the reactions of the body. And this is why we have so many of our hospitals filled with people with nervous disorders, because what's happening at the desk doesn't come out in your brain, but it comes out someplace in your body in terms of anxieties. We know that one of the greatest killers is not cancer and disease only, but nervous disorders, heart attack kinds of disorders, blood pressure problems, ulcer problems, colitis problems, all of these headaches. We know that all of these are tension from the speeded up society, somewhat from our materialistic world. And we can't do anything about this except be totally aware of it so that we try as much as we can to let the body kind of relax and to fit in. And this is just one of the techniques that can help. It can serve in place of the tranquilizers, which have a lot of side effects in terms of possibilities in terms of depression. A lot of the aspirins can be alleviated by 5 minutes on the horizontal and blanking out the world for that time. Now, another great, great tension release, as far as I'm concerned, is play in all the various forms of leisure, so that it is play for the sake of play, but also for the sake of tension. And to me, the fitness possibilities are great, not only for body conditioning, but once you're conditioned, then to me, play is the real thing. I don't really need to teach physical education to teach you how to be fit. You can read a book on it, you can try the exercises. But my function, and the function, as far as I'm concerned, of all physical educators, is to teach you to enjoy being fit. by enjoying the elements. And this is the part of a liberal education that I feel we're contributing to. We're expanding your horizons, giving you more chance for joy, more chance for using your bodies in terms of enjoyment. Now, not the fun explosion where you're seeking fun just because you want to escape everything else, but just to make you a complete person, a full life. We know what happens if you have 24 hours of leisure. Those that live through the Depression know what happens here. Then leisure becomes not fun because it's a forced kind of life. But as we get more leisure, what we want to do is to be able to enjoy it more, both quietly and actively. And so what I think each person should try to do is to find something they like to do. I don't think everybody has to play every sport, and so that you're just running from sport to sport, but that you find something active for you. As well, of course, as I feel you need something quiet. The TV, to me, is an important kind of tension release. But it's not 8 hours every night of tension release. Just as I think music, art, has exactly the same kind of relaxing helps. But because of automation and we don't use our bodies, I think you also need an activity. In terms of the activities, of course, I think that right here is an example in terms of hiking, enjoying nature. Camping is a kind of physical activity. Hunting is important. In terms of family kind of life, to me, badminton is one of the best ways of having an outdoor kind of activity that anybody can learn to do. Any of your children from fourth grade on, and if they're well coordinated before that, can learn badminton. Everybody can play this, and you can play it at your own level, and it doesn't take 3 years to learn. Now, tennis to me takes 3 seasons to really learn to enjoy it to its maximum. I think all of you can learn tennis and enjoy it, but not as much as you can enjoy something like tennis. Bowling is an activity that almost everybody can enjoy. It doesn't give you a great deal of activity, but it gives you some, except arthritic women or men in terms of the wrist. It can be hard on the wrist. Now, it doesn't have to be, and it's not strength that makes a bowler. It's the coordination of all body parts working together. And using the whole arm. It's that whole idea of a pendulum swing. You know, you build up force, and the body builds up the force. The only thing you need is enough to be able to hold the ball. You can learn to control your wrist. And this, again, from fourth grade up, children can learn this. A lot of women say they're too weak to bowl. They are not. Unless they're arthritic, which really affects the joints, and then you do have some problems. So that this is an activity. The individual kinds of activities, I think, are the things that, particularly in physical education, we're trying to emphasize now so that the whole family can be working in it. In terms of your children, my plea is that you do learn to let your children play as children, not as miniature adults. They do not need to learn to mimic the ball player on TV. The ball player on TV is spectacular. He reaches out to catch a ball, pulling himself apart. This is not the way to catch a ball. The way to catch a ball is to line up with it to get your hands in position for it. The fourth grade boys are all learning to reach, but when they get farther in this or are trying to learn other sports, they're trying to be spectacular. And this is one of the negatives of TV, is that they are learning the advance before the beginning. They're also learning baseball, but this is not an activity that they can do as much later. And we're encouraging them by having leagues and by looking for the best pitcher on the team. We also know that all of these boys that are doing little league pitching, we're now finding cannot pitch in high school and in college because they have pulled their arms and strained their arms, almost like the javelin thrower who will always end up with some kinds of arm trouble. So they now are, at least in little league, limiting the number of innings that a boy can pitch. But what we're trying to do is to make men out of them, and they're not. They're children. It's not an activity that they normally would have selected to do. They would have taken the softball and gone to the sandlot. They would have taken other kinds of toys and gone to the sandlot. They would have built things if they had their own choosing. but our culture has even affected them, just as our culture affects all our play life. Just think of what you do for status. You play golf instead of bowling for status. So these are some of the problems to think about. Now what I have here are all the things that I think are important in terms of physical activity. For functional reasons, to prevent fatigue, we have fitness, we have fads, and we really want facts in this. Food I didn't get to, but I think all of you know what happens when you eat too much food. And that exercise will not prevent this getting fat. It's a combination of input and output. If I put too much in my stomach and don't have enough exercise or let it out in some kind of energy eating out, I'm going to be fat. And this is one of the big detriments, particularly for people past 50, in terms of injury to the health. Fear, we have too much fear to try new activities, and so we're sitting doing the same thing that we have done. This is one of the reasons that we want to teach the 9 through 12-year-old child many activities, not just Little League Baseball. Because we know he will do later what he has learned to do well, and the best learning period is 9 through 12. And this is why I also plead for elementary physical education. A fellowship, I think there's no question, but that play can encourage good fellowship. This is why the churches have leagues and so on of this kind of activity. Fulfillment, part of fulfillment of life is in the area of the physical, and it can be having this one kind of activity that you do fairly well. We know that this is very important in terms of retarded children, that we find something that they can do in terms of the physical. And all of them with patients can learn in this area. So fulfillment is important. The family is important in terms of recreation and leisure, because I think this is one of the secrets of how we can get the families back together. In the camping, in some kinds of activities, in the picnic life. Little League isn't going to get your families back together, which is another one of my gripes, that the children almost don't want to go on vacation because of this. And this is what our culture has done to the child, not the child himself. And I think we can take care of this. Feelings, my best way of getting rid of anxiety, even if I cause it to everybody else, is out on that volleyball court. And one thing is, if you are going to play, then play. Don't bring the office with you to your play. Taking your potential employer to play golf with you, to me, is no way of relaxing. That's just a business deal, and use it as a business deal. Then play your golf game on your own. If you're going to take your anxieties to the fishing hole, then you've lost some of the value of fishing. So take your fun activity feelings with you, but leave your anxiety feelings at home. I think freedom is one of the things that movement can give us, that activity can give us, that we have to have some kind of space. We are limiting ourselves in space, which is limiting our creativity in motion, and that children particularly need this spontaneous kind of movement. You know, just running around in circles is important for the child, and it's also therefore important for the adult to get some of this freedom. Feminine fashion is important for those that have girls. There is no masculine sport and feminine sport except boxing and contact sports that I can find. That it's our, again, culture who has said a girl does not bowl, a girl does not play pool, a girl does play shuffleboard, a girl does not play tennis. Now the girl does play tennis. One of the reasons the men didn't play badminton is because women brought badminton to this country and women played it. We're just now getting men to believe that badminton has some kind of value. It's what we put on the sport that makes it masculine or feminine, not the activity itself. And I think those with girls, this is important to remember, that the girl needs fitness later in life and an activity for her fun life just as well as the man does. And that we need to be careful of this. Flop. Frustration and failure is a word that physical educators unfortunately have put upon children. And we can get rid of all of this in terms of sports if we really teach the child from the elementary grades up that there is no flop, but that in this you at least can set your own standards of fun and what is or is not fun. The other thing is flexibility, that We need to have all kinds of flexible programs so that all children eventually learn to have some kind of activity. And to me, this is then the positive of fitness plus fine kinds of activities, and that everybody really needs something that they can do so that they do get off their seat and on their feet, and that they enjoy it in life. And this is my call, that all of you do something, anything that will keep your body more perfect for life, and also, I think, in our Christian calling, it makes us more able to enjoy and therefore to give. That's all. Thank you.